السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهد الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله.
اللهم صل على محمد.
أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. صلى الله وسلم على أصيائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: قل هل يستوي الذين يعلمون والذين لا يعلمون؟ آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. It's no secret that Islam stresses on the notion of pursuing knowledge, of gaining knowledge. We notice that our traditions are replete with teachings that encourage us to seek knowledge, to gain a better understanding. The Quran, for instance, in over 750 verses in the Quran, the Quran urges us to use our intellectual capacities, to use them in ways that are beneficial for ourselves and for others around us. The traditions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt, they emphasize this point. Some of you may have heard, memorized some of these traditions, some of these ahadith that urge us to prioritize seeking knowledge, to prioritize learning and gaining education and knowledge. Yet, when we examine the role of knowledge and the value of knowledge in education today in society, we see that knowledge and education is valued because it is seen as being inherently linked to economic and social success. We see, for instance, that society in general, it encourages us from a very young age, from children who are still in school, in grade school, and in college, to emphasize and to make sure that they prioritize their education and gaining knowledge for what? So that they can get a good job, so that they can get a good career, and in turn be able to take care of themselves and their families financially, and to, you know, raise themselves financially and socially in terms of their success. And so knowledge, the value of knowledge in education, is important in society because it is linked to what? It is linked to economic and socioeconomic success. Now, when it comes to earning money, when it comes to providing for oneself and one's family, this in and of itself is a noble cause. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, our tradition emphasizes the significance of working to provide for one's family. In one of the famous traditions, one of the famous teachings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, "Al-kad ala ayalih kal-mujahid fi sabilillah." The one who spends time and effort and resources to take care of his or her family members, to earn a good living, and to spend and allow his or her family members to live in comfort, this person, in the eyes of Allah, this person is like the one who is a mujahid, the one who gives his entire life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's a noble pursuit. Yet, at the same time, we have to remember that knowledge is devalued when it's objectified. When the purpose of knowledge, of pursuing knowledge and pursuing an education, is only to get a good job, only to make money, then in fact we are objectifying it. And as a result, we are devaluing the significance and the value of knowledge in and of itself. When we come to the Islamic tradition, Islam tells us that seeking education and seeking knowledge has to serve a higher purpose, a greater purpose than one's self or one's material needs. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, he describes knowledge. He says, العلم نور يقذفه الله في قلب من يشاء. Knowledge is a nur, is a light that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala infuses in the hearts of people. Now, the object, the purpose of nur is to do what? Of light. Is to show us the way. We use light so that we can see our path, so that our path can be illuminated. Here the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, he describes knowledge as a source of light, as a source of illumination that allows us to see our path. And so we benefit so that we can see our path, so that we can arrive at our ultimate destination. It's wrong to assume that seeking knowledge alone, just the pursuit of knowledge alone, automatically entails success. Because some people, they say, as long as I'm seeking knowledge, even for the right reasons, as long as I'm seeking knowledge, as long as I'm pursuing my education, this alone will make me successful. Yet, this is a wrong way to think about knowledge and the pursuit of knowledge. Because as far as knowledge is concerned, it is important in and of itself, but it's also important when it comes to the objectives and the intentions behind pursuing knowledge. One of the very important objectives when we examine our teachings, one of the very important objectives that we arrive at, is that the knowledge that we seek is one that should benefit us not only in this life but also in the next. Should not just be beneficial for this life, but it should also be beneficial for the hereafter. Because sometimes knowledge, some forms of knowledge, can be absolutely useless. In the famous dua narrated by our Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min nafsin la tashba' wa min qalbin la yakhsha' wa min ilmin la yanfa'. I seek refuge in you, O my Lord, from knowledge that has no benefit, from knowledge that is useless to me. Because some forms of knowledge are useless. Some forms of knowledge are really a waste of time. It's mentioned by our seventh Imam, and Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam, that one day the Prophet, peace be upon him and his family, he entered into the masjid and he noticed that there was, you know, something going on in the masjid. People had crowded around someone and there was a little bit of commotion. So he asked, he said, what's happening? One of the people, he said that here with us is an allama. Allama is someone who is very learned, a great scholar. So the Prophet asked, what is his knowledge? What does his knowledge entail? What is he knowledgeable about? And he received the answer that this person is an expert in Arab ancestry and ancient events. Now for the Prophet, peace be upon him, in that context, we have to think of this in the context of the society that the Prophet was living in. A society that only a few years earlier, their whole, you know, objective and their priorities were what? Were tribal. About ancestry, about the family that you come from, about the heritage that, you know, your family and your tribe has. All about that. And so the Prophet, he turned and he said, this knowledge is one that what? He said, ذَاكَ عِلْمٌ لَا يَضُرُّ مَنْ جَهِلَ. This is a type of knowledge that the one who does not have this knowledge is not harmed. He's not missing out on anything. وَلَا يَنْفَعُ مَنْ عَلِمَ. And it does not benefit the one who pursues it. There are certain types of knowledge that are useless. They are a waste of time, especially at the expense of knowledge that is beneficial. Because any pursuit of knowledge requires time. It requires resources. It requires that we place efforts in it. And so sometimes we are reminded that there are certain pursuits that are futile. They are a waste of time. They are useless. And we can think of many categories of such in the modern time. A lot of people, for instance, they dedicate extensive time and focus, for instance, as an example, to sort of figure out every aspect of celebrity life, right? What's happening? What's the latest gossip between the latest celebrities? What's happening between them? Who got married? Who got divorced? Who had a baby? You know, the latest issue that came up. Not just a matter of reading about it and being aware, but that time and effort is expended in becoming experts. Some become experts in celebrity life at the expense of what? Perhaps other forms of knowledge and understandings that could be much more beneficial. And this is just one example. So sometimes the knowledge that we acquire may be useless. Sometimes, in fact, it's not that it's just useless, but that it is harmful for us. It is harmful for us, either in and of itself, or because it's used for harmful ends. It's used as a means for harmful ends, such as a few examples. One is when the knowledge is used to deceive people. Sometimes there are forms of knowledge, there are times where we pursue knowledge and expertise not to guide others, not to be beneficial for ourselves and for others in society, but in order to deceive others, in order to manipulate others. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says in the hadith, he says, مَنْ ابْتَغَى الْعِلْمَ لِيَخْدَعَ بِهِ النَّاسِ لَمْ يَجِدْ رِيحَ الْجَنِّ. The one who dedicates his or her time to pursuing knowledge in order to do what? In order to deceive people. So that he can take, or she can take advantage of people. That this person, this knowledge will not only be beneficial, but will be harmful for them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold them accountable on the day of judgment as a result of the pursuit of this knowledge. And this knowledge can be what? It can be a source of being prohibited from paradise, from Jannah. And there are many examples of this type of behavior. The Quran gives us the example of a man who was known in the Quran as As-Samiri. As-Samiri who lived during the time of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. Prophet Musa was called by Allah to do what? To go and to enter in his state of munajat with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he left his community, Bani Israel. He left them behind, and As-Samiri, this man, he took advantage of this specific knowledge that he had. This special knowledge that he had, he took advantage of this in order to deceive the companions and the people of Prophet Musa alayhi salam. In order to deceive them, in order to push them away from the teachings of Prophet Musa. He was a knowledgeable person. He acquired great knowledge, yet he used this knowledge in order to take advantage of people and to deceive them. Unfortunately, we see this example not just in history, but even today, there are some who use the facade of scholarship in order to do what? in order to deceive people, especially those who may not necessarily be well aware, right? They're taken advantage of. We have many examples of this in the world today. So this is one example of knowledge that can be harmful for us, even if the knowledge itself is good, but it's used in order to deceive people. Another example is when this knowledge is coupled with pride and arrogance. The classic example of this is the example mentioned in the Quran of Iblis, also known as Shaytan. The traditions tell us that Iblis was the most knowledgeable of inhabitants in the heavens. And that in fact, he was an educator. He educated the inhabitants of the heavens for, according to one tradition, 4,000 years. So he had arrived at a very high level of scholarship, if you will. Yet, this knowledge that he had was not only not beneficial for him, but it turned out to be harmful because it was coupled with what? With pride, with arrogance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the case, the famous story, the incident that's mentioned in the Quran, after the creation of Prophet Adam, he commanded the inhabitants of the heavens to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam, and all did except Iblis. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Iblis, قَالَ مَا مَنَعَكَ أَلَّا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ Allah asked Iblis, he said, what prohibited you from prostrating when I commanded you to do so? His answer was very simple. قال أنا خير منه. He said, I am better than him. Who's this, you know, newcomer? This new creation that you've brought? I've been around for thousands of years. I've been teaching the angels and I've been teaching the inhabitants of the heavens. I am better than him, not just in terms of my knowledge and understanding, but even my essence. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِينٍ You created me from fire, you created him from dirt or clay. And so this knowledge was not only not beneficial, but harmful in the case of Iblis, because it was coupled with what? It was coupled with arrogance. It was coupled with pride. When we come to our traditions, they emphasize that any pursuit of knowledge has to be coupled with humility, with tawadu, with realizing that knowledge should not allow us to think of ourselves or consider ourselves as superior to others. That we have to avoid, at all costs, we have to avoid a sense of superiority or a sense of arrogance or pride because of our knowledge. And especially, this becomes especially important when it has to do with knowledge. Because knowledge is something that people look up to. People who are knowledgeable are looked up to in society. So it's very easy to display arrogance. It's very easy to display pride. Whereas our teachings, they emphasize the significance of being humble, of expressing humility. And in fact, the real purpose of knowledge is that for us to realize that the more we know, we realize how little we know. For those who pursue knowledge, it is incumbent upon them to understand this, that the more you know, the more you learn, the more you realize how little you know. And as such, humility, knowledge has to be coupled with humility. This is number two. And another example, a third example, is when knowledge is coupled with hypocrisy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ O you who believe, why is it that you do not act upon that which you say, that which you preach? كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ Allah says, it is great in the eyes of Allah. It's not trivial. It is magnificent in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person teaches something or encourages something or preaches something but does not act upon it. Does not act upon one's own teachings. كَبُرَ مَقْتًا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ أَن تَقُولُوا مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam
Allah!
He says in the hadith that on the day of judgment, there will be a group of scholars who will be the inhabitants of the hellfire. And a group of people in the heavens, they will turn to them and they will see that these scholars are placed in the hellfire. They are being punished. So they will ask them, the group from heaven, the inhabitants of the heaven, they will ask the inhabitants of the hellfire, how is it that you ended up in the hellfire while it was because of your teachings that we were able to be guided to paradise? And their answer will come that we inna kunna na'muru bil khayri wa la naf'al. Simply because we would command good, we would command something, we would encourage and teach something to people, but we ourselves did not act upon our own teachings. And this is very important when it comes to knowledge. It is very important not just when it comes to knowledge, but when it comes to every aspect of our lives. Even when it comes to parenting as an example. If I expect my children to be good children, to be angels, and every parent wants their children to be angels, no? Everyone, every parent wants his son or daughter, her son or daughter to become, you know, a good person. To become someone who is pious, someone who is good, a good member of the community, a productive member of the community. If I expect this of my child, and I ask my child to be respectful to others, I ask my child to pray on time. I ask my child, for instance, to observe hijab. I ask my child to do all of these things, but yet I myself do not adhere to them. This is problematic. Especially in the case of children, because children, they don't necessarily listen to what you're saying. They do what? They see what you do. They learn by seeing, by example. And so it's important for us to remember that When it comes to knowledge, that we also adhere to the things that we learn and the things that we teach others. I remember when I was back in Qom a few years ago, I met with one of the scholars, big scholars there, one of my teachers, and I asked him one day for advice. I would often ask for advice. So one day I asked for advice, and the thing that he said, you know, stood out and it stays with me until today. He said, listen, make sure in your life that you become a bridge for others to pass across to the truth, to goodness. But make sure that you don't just become a bridge for others to cross without you crossing yourself. Don't just be the bridge for others. Make sure that you also practice what you preach, what you teach. And this is important when it comes to knowledge, that we have to be able to act upon those things that we learn and those things that we teach others. So number one was that we benefit, it benefits, this knowledge benefits both this life and the hereafter. And number two, the second issue with knowledge is that it should not just benefit us, but it should also benefit others around us. That seeking knowledge should not just be an individual priority, an individual objective, just for me, but that I also transfer this knowledge to others. According to the tradition by an Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, he says, "Man ta'allama lillah," the one who learns, who seeks knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The ends is what? Is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. "Man ta'allama lillah wa 'amila lillah," and acts for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, acts upon this knowledge for Allah, وَعَلَّمَ لِلَّهِ, and teaches and transfers this knowledge to others for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, دُعِيَ فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ عَظِيمًا. This person will be considered and called great in the kingdoms of heaven. So not that one just benefits oneself and acts upon that knowledge, but also transfers that knowledge to others, teaches that knowledge to others. And these, brothers and sisters, these issues, of course, I remind myself before I remind you. of these, and especially my younger brothers and sisters. Not only the younger generation, but everyone, because knowledge is a pursuit that is not specific to a certain age group, but is something that we carry out throughout our entire lives. But we have to understand the significance of the objectives and the intentions of seeking knowledge. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capacity to use, to pursue that knowledge which is beneficial to us, and to use that knowledge to become agents of positive change in our lives and in the lives of others. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr illa ladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصلى الله وسلم على أوصيائه وخلفائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين وعلى علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبط نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله العزيز في محكم كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ذلك ومن يعظم شعائر الله فإنها من تقوى القلوب. آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم. Tomorrow, inshallah, is the first day of the month of Rajab. And our teachings and traditions tell us that Rajab is one of the most significant months in the Islamic calendar. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in one hadith, he describes Rajab. He says, أَلَا إِنَّ رَجَبْ شَهْرَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, Rajab is the month of Allah. It is attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to show the significance and the importance of this month. A month which is filled with blessings. A time of mercy, time of blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. According to another tradition, Rajab is entitled Rajab al-Asab, which entails that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the downpour of the mercy of Allah during this time, during this month. From Sab. Sab means to pour. So Rajab al-Asab means the month in which there is a downpour of the mercy and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many significant acts and things that we can take advantage of during this holy month. If you refer to the famous book of Mafatih al-Jinan, there is an extended section in the book where the author, Sheikh Abbas al-Qummi, he narrates many traditions about the significant aspects of the month of Rajab. And you can find this in the book of Mafatih al-Jinan. You can also find this online if you go to duas.org, for example. You'll find all of the specifics of the month of Rajab. However, very briefly, I just want to mention a few things. One of the significant acts is that of fasting. Rajab, after Rajab comes the month of Sha'ban, and then the month of Ramadan, which is the month of fasting. It is highly recommended for us to begin to fast in the month of Rajab, and to spend some of the days, if not the entire month, at least some of the days in fasting for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is a tradition mentioned by the books of hadith, in which a man, a companion by the name of Salim, he goes to visit our sixth Imam, Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He says, I entered to visit Al-Imam al-Sadiq during the month of Rajab. And it was towards the end of the month. And so Al-Imam al-Sadiq, he says, he asked me, he said, oh Salim, have you fasted during the month of Rajab? Did you fast during this month? And so Salim, he replied to the Imam, he said, no, Ya Ibn Rasulullah, I have not. He told him, then indeed you have missed out on a reward in which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of. So Salim, he turned to the Imam and he said, well, I was not able to fast, I did not fast the previous days. Is there something that I can do? The Imam, he told him, he said, yes, Salim. The one who fasts one day for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Rajab, this one day of fasting will be a safety and ease for him or her during their time of death and in their grave. And the one who fasts 2 days in the month of Rajab, this fast will act as a passport for this person on the day of judgment in crossing the Sirat. And the person who fasts 3 days in the month of Rajab for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this fasting acts as a guarantee of entrance into heaven. So fasting is important, brothers and sisters, that we train ourselves for the month of Ramadan through fasting. The second issue is that of forgiveness. The Prophet tells us, and the Imams, they tell us that Rajab is the month of forgiveness. It is the month in which we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in repentance and we seek forgiveness, not just from Allah, but from fellow brothers and sisters. If we've done wrong, we ask for forgiveness and we ask for repentance. And finally, it is the month of dua. And there is a long list of specific and recommended du'as to recite during the days and nights of the month of Rajab. Again, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and I remind you to go back and to look at these du'as. They're very beautiful du'as. It's not just a matter of reciting specific words, but if we go and we think about and we ponder about the meanings of these du'as which have been narrated by the Ahlul Bayt, we will find great benefit in their meaning. One of the very beautiful du'as that we'll end with, and we're recommended to recite after every salah during the month of Rajab, is Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ya man arjuhu li kulli khayr. O the one who I plead to for every form of goodness. Wa amanu sakhatahu 'inda kulli shar. O you who I turn to in relief from every pain and every misfortune. Ya man yu'ti al-kathir bil qalil. O you who gives so much in return for so little. Ya man yu'ti man sa'alah. O you who asks from the one who calls upon him. Ya man yu'ti man lam yas'alhu wa man lam ya'rifhu tahannunan minhu wa rahman. O you who gives to the one, not only to the one who asks you, but to the one who does not ask of you, and the one who does not even find you, the one who does not even recognize you, tahannunan minka wa rahma, out of your mercy and your compassion. A'tini bi mas'alati iyyak jami'a khayr ad-dunya wa jami'a khayr al-akhirah, wasrif 'anni bi mas'alati iyyak jami'a sharr ad-dunya wa sharr al-akhirah, fa innahu ghayru manqusin ma a'tayt, wa zidni min fadlika ya kareem, يا ذا الجلال والإكرام، يا ذا النعماء والجود، يا ذا المن والطول، حرم شيبتي على النار بمحمد وآله الأطهار. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this month of Rajab a blessed month for you and your families. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness during this month, for the capacity and the capability to fast and to seek forgiveness and to reach a greater proximity with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during this holy month. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihati. Wa tawasaw bil haqqi. Wa tawasaw bil sabr. Qumu ila salatikum. Yarhamkumullah.